Good morning.
Well, good morning, Faye. How are you?
I'm wonderful. You know, temperature's back up.
Yeah.
If we can keep the temperature up, I'm going to be fine.
Well, you know, I'm hesitant to say this, but, you know, now that we're into March, you would think that we're kind of past all the winter weatherness, but golly, things have been so strange for so long, you never know.
it could go back down any time.
Yeah. You could go from 80 to an ice storm in any minute.
So. But, you know, the interesting thing is, everybody's been sending me pictures. There's every kind of duck in the world that's been on the ponds.
Really?
There's mallards. There's all kinds of duck. There's geese and the doves. Everybody's been sending over pictures of doves outside their windows.
Really?
So there's just everything in the world. And, you know, we had a fox. I'd never seen a fox.
Really?
And the fox came and he stayed 2 days.
Wow. And you actually saw it?
Saw him.
Wow.
He came out at night.
Oh, my word.
Yeah, it was a gray fox. I thought foxes were red, but this one wasn't.
Wow. And he stayed for 2 days?
Stayed for 2 days.
Oh, my.
Then I guess he was needed somewhere else or hungry. And he went to get somebody's chickens or something.
And then that was it.
Oh, my gosh.
My.
And, you know, everybody's always... It's not only their dogs that are loose all the time that they can't keep up with, but those dadgum roosters. You know, they just can't keep up with those two roosters. They're always finding them down the road somewhere, and they'll put it out to the neighbors, you know. We found these two black roosters, you know, and I just keep wondering about all these roosters loose. I don't know what to say.
Warning, warning, roosters on the loose. Take cover.
That's right. That's about what it amounts to. But, you know, and last week, somebody's turtle was loose.
Oh, no.
I go, oh, my gosh.
Here we go.
I can't imagine. How far could a turtle go as slow as they are?
I don't know. You'd think that you would have no trouble catching up to it. It's not like a dog escaped or anything. It would take them 3 days just to get to the end of the driveway, you'd think.
That's what I thought. But some little kid missed it, so the mother put it out and described it. And said, you know, if you see our turtle... let us know.
Describe it. Now, I'm not a turtle.
Describe it.
I have no experience with turtles, but I'm thinking they all kind of look the same. It's a turtle. But what
do I
know?
It should look pretty much the same. But I just can't believe it. You know, the chickens, you know, the roosters, you know, everything gets loose out here.
Yeah. Wow.
And they're always, you know, beside the road or somewhere, and people are talking about it.
Well, gosh, I hope the fox didn't get the turtle, because that would be something dreadful.
I was just hoping the fox didn't go eat anybody's chickens.
Oh,
it depends how hungry that little fox was.
Yeah.
But he was well-behaved here. He didn't eat anything here.
Really?
As far as I know. Of course, the llamas are too big. You know, they wouldn't let him bite on them.
Yeah.
But, the kitty cat... My puppy, you know, they weren't harmed at all.
Wow. I'm shocked. What was he doing? Was he just like hanging out in the backyard or what?
Yeah, I mean, he went under the gazebo and came back out. That's how come us to see it.
Wow.
We're going, how did that fox get in?
Goodness gracious. And he,
the little fox was there 2 days. It was a small fox. It wasn't a fully grown one, I don't think. And but I've never seen one up close.
Yeah, no, I don't know that I have either. I'm shocked. It seems
I was in shock.
Yeah.
The neighbors have been talking about they'd been seeing a fox, but then they see coyotes every day.
Yeah.
And the coyotes are hungry, and they're coming in closer.
Wow. And everybody survived. The dog's okay. Cat's okay. Kids
That's
are okay.
Right. We all survived.
Wow. That's kind of neat. That's something you don't see every day. Interesting.
That's right.
Hmm.
So anyway, but it's moved out and went on now.
he's on his journey somewhere else.
He's on his journey at somebody else's house now. Don't know who.
Well, hopefully their stuff and their people and their animals are okay.
I hope
so. This is Your Money with Faye Bagby. Your phone number is...
It's 877-588-3330. That's 877-588-3330. Our website's AmericanFinancialMidland.com.
See, now there's another first. I've never actually talked to another person who had a fox living in their yard for 2 days. It's another
when
thing.
When you live in a small town and it's kind of rural, anything can happen.
Yeah. Wow. You have stories that nobody else can tell. That's for sure.
Well, you know, we see a lot of things that nobody else has seen. I mean, you know, we did have the turkeys, you know, that crossed the road all the time. That was interesting.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, everybody just had to stop, let it get across the road. And that turkey had lived out here a long time.
Wow. My word. All right. So let's, how are we on, what are some of the highlights from this week?
Okay. We had a policy mature this last week. It matured in 6 months.
Oh, wow.
They made 39%.
Oh, my goodness.
So that was a big news. Wow. It was supposed to be over a year. It came in early and made 39%. So those people had a good payday.
My goodness.
And we're working on three policies right now that are going, if we get them, and if we get them at the right price, the profit is really high on them.
Really?
The profit on one is 50%.
Oh, my.
And one it's 60%.
Really?
We don't know if it'll shake out at that, but that's what we're bidding on now, and we'll know on Monday.
Wow.
If we got these or not. But they're looking really good. Profit is fantastic on them.
Golly. And I assume premiums are great.
Premiums are less than 0.1%.
Oh, my goodness. That's incredible. Wow.
Premium's like $272. That's a year. $272 per year. I mean,
wow.
Anybody could do that on a Saturday night.
Yeah, really. Well, you probably got that change in your couch.
That's right. The change is just laying there for that one.
Wow.
But all three of these look really good. I don't know if we'll get all three. If we just got two of them, it'd be a miracle because the profit is so high.
We have
really worked this week on these, trying to get them. And, you know, they're not great big policies, but they've got some great profit, and we can put several people in each one.
Wow. It's rare that you throw out profits of 50 and 60%.
We haven't seen 50 and 60
wow.
in a long, long time.
Yeah. That's
and, of course,
just...
we don't know when the final bidding, it may be a lot less. But right now, it's holding at 50 and 60%.
Wow.
I mean, you know, and we're not getting a lot right now. And we went back and looked at last year, same thing happened. You know, until March last year, you know, we just didn't do much.
Really?
It's just people are not selling their policies right now. We're just not getting the volume that we need. But come March, maybe everything will clear out. It'll be warm, and people will start selling their policies.
Yeah, it's so weird because, you know, we've talked before about how, you know, companies used to come in and, you know, they'd be bidding hot and heavy in the first quarter, and then everything would, you know, start to loosen up. And we're always looking for like patterns and things like that, you know, trends and, you know, what's happening just to kind of have an understanding of the landscape of, you know, what's actually going on. And I guess I didn't realize that it was a similar pattern last year at this time.
Yes, we went back and looked it up because I was trying to figure out, you know, we're just not getting everything we need. And when I went back and looked it up, yep, the same thing happened. You know, we just weren't getting them until later. And starting in March, March and April, we got that one great big policy. And if you remember, it rescinded. It was a great deal, and the people rescinded it right in the middle of the deal. So that hurt a lot last year. But right after that, we just never looked back. We just kept getting good policies all the time.
Yeah, it seemed like all of a sudden it's just, it was just very, very slow, very, very slow. And then all of a sudden, boom. And it was just almost, I don't want to say like a fire hose, but it was just like incredible, just one after another for a while.
That's right. And we bid an awful lot of policies. We got an awful lot of policies. So we invested a lot of money during the year, had a lot of maturities during the year. And that's another thing. We haven't had very many maturities since the first of the year. So those are behind right now, too. So we should be getting a lot of maturities. We've got a lot of policies due.
You know, it's always interesting. You know, we get so focused on what's happening, you know, right now and what happened last week and the week before and sometimes the week before. We get very, very into the present, which is good. But it's also nice to go back and kind of take a look at, you know, like the previous year as a whole. And when you, you know, you kind of go back and you look at it, that's really how life settlements are set up. It's not about, you know, every one individual policy. It's how the whole plan works, you know, on a wide scale. You know, it's like you invest in policies and then they mature and then you reinvest. And that's really how the whole investment is set up to be most successful anyway. It's not about, you know, just one policy here or one policy there. And when you go back and you look at the whole year and it's just like, you know, a lot of maturities, a lot of, you know, a lot of new policies coming in, a lot of profits and things like that. And that's what it's really designed to do. So, I mean, even if you have a couple of weeks where it's a little bit slow, looking at the whole year when it's all said and done, it's going to end up being great, just like it has in
the
past.
Yeah, and I think it'll be a great year. It just looks like it to me. It's getting started slow, but I think it'll just go smooth the rest of the year.
Yeah. At least it has in the past, and so there's no reason to think this year's any different. And it's pretty normal for these things.
And you know what I like about it is they don't go down.
Yeah.
You know, you buy a policy, you invest in a policy, and the maturity is the same as it started out. You know, I was just thinking about the stock market. You know, they go in at one price, and all of a sudden the stocks drop, and so it's not worth as much. But this is worth the same amount from start to finish.
Yeah.
You know, it's not going to go down in the middle. They're not going to ask you to take 50 cents on the dollar like you're always saying. So I think it's a safer investment, much safer than being in the stock market. And the profits are great. You know, I mean, if usually on a 24, 25-month policy, if we can make 30% or 34%, you know, we're doing good. And we feel like that's a good return on investment. But these right now are going to be above expectations if they close.
Yeah.
And we don't know for sure. But they're looking at 50 and 60% profit.
Jeez.
And that'll be more than we've made in a long time. We've made 40% several times in 49. But I don't know if we've ever made 50 or 60%.
Yeah.
And it may not shake out at that. It may be 40% time we get through bidding. But it's looking good right now. And what I love about life settlements is it's investment in a life insurance policy that the people have cancer. And, you know, that's our specialty is cancer. A lot of people buy policies for anything. Doesn't matter if they've got heart disease, Alzheimer's, anything. And we don't speculate like that. We've spent all these years specializing in cancer. So we've stuck with it because we know it. And we know what the profit is. And we know how soon they're going to come due. So, you know, we've learned a lot over the years. I love it. I love the profit. I like it that once we buy a policy, we can call the people, send them a message and say, would you like to go in this policy? If they say yes, we're going to do it, and it'll be done and finished up. And then when it matures, when the person dies, we send them another message and said, your policy's matured. You'll have your money shortly.
You know,
that's the way it should be.
The way the whole investment is set up, there's so many different layers. I'm just listening to how you know, when you go through the kind of like the overview, it's just there's so many things that people don't have to worry about. You know, they with a life settlement, you don't have to get up in the middle of the night. You set it. You know what you're going to make. You know about when you're going to make it. I mean, yeah, some may go over, but some may come in early. Some go on time. And that's really the kind of the nature of the whole investment. But it's just like people don't have to worry about, you know, is there even going to be a profit? You know, not only do they know what it's going to be, but, you know, if let's say the stock market crashes or some weird thing happens and all of a sudden all these other investments are, you know, how real estate is, even that's just, you know, crazy. But with a life settlement, it's pretty steady. I mean, there's not really a whole lot of you know, variables that would affect it at all. It's just wait. And so, you know,
you just wait and see.
Yeah.
And you can be doing other things during that time, and your money is working during that time. That's what I love.
Yeah.
And I love because, you know, it's like 15 months up to 45 months.
Yeah.
You know, it's a good range. And, you know, 45 months is the most we would do. That's 3.5 years. Most of ours are 28 months. And lots of times they don't even wait that long. They come in a lot sooner. Then sometimes they go over. Sometimes the doctor's wrong.
Yeah.
But pancreatic cancer is the one that it's everybody's favorite. I think breast cancer is next, and then colon cancer.
Yeah. And, you know, and these are not the kinds of, you know, you're, like you say, you're very specific about the types of policies that you're buying. It's not like the ads that we see on TV where, you know, the people are like, you know, travel on all over the place and they're, you know, bouncing the grandkids on their knees and they're going to the baseball games. And it's not, those aren't what you're bidding on at all. And so having such a fine-tuned focus on the types of policies that you are bidding on is what really sets you apart from what other people are doing when you talk about, you know, selling their policies.
Yeah, it's a completely different ballgame. People that are buying policies that the people are not anything wrong with them, they're paying like 10 cents on the dollar.
Oh, my.
You know, they're not giving them hardly anything for that.
Yeah.
But the people that have policies that they have cancer, they get a great return on their policies. And remember, a lot of these policies have no cash value. We're buying policies that these people have no cash value. It's just the market is working, even with them not having cash value. So,
yeah.
You know, we buy policies every day that has no cash value. But we know that it's going to mature because they're sick.
Yeah.
So that's what we're buying. We're buying people that are sick. We're buying their policies every day. We look at policies every day. A lot of them don't meet our criteria. A lot of them are not sick enough. A lot of them have something that we've never heard of, but it isn't cancer. So we pass on those. Because if we don't understand and don't know anything about it, how can we tell anybody else about it?
Exactly. Yeah.
So, you know, we try to stick with what we know. And lots of times a husband or the wife comes to us and the other one does have the cancer. They want to sell the policy. Well, you've got to get the permission of the person that the policy is written on. That's what happened on Bittner. You know, we were ready to close on Bittner. We'd raised all the money. And the wife said, no, I'm not going to sell this policy. And this old guy was trying to sell it, I guess, without asking her.
Golly.
And you've got to have written approval from the person that owns the policy. They've got to sign off on it. Let's say you've gotten a divorce. We've had that happen lately. They didn't have signed affidavits from the former wife that she would not want any of the claim. You've got to have all that. There's a lot of legal things have to be done after we buy a policy before we can give them the money. All this has to be substantiated by the attorneys. So there's a lot of work that goes on once we say we'll buy it. And then we escrow the money and we don't give it to them till they get us all the paperwork.
Yeah.
So that takes another week or two.
I mean, it's a pretty quick process, but it's also very highly regulated, which is great for investors.
It is very highly regulated.
I mean, it's
just... everything has to be right.
Yeah.
And you have to have a licensed provider to buy it from. And like we're a licensed provider in the state of Texas, but we're not in Florida or these other states. But the companies we use are a licensed provider. So we can go direct with them. They can close the deal.
Yeah, and it's all set up in a I mean, like if like, so for example, I forget how you actually say it. You say it much better than this, but people never write you a check. It goes to Nevada Trust, and
it has to go to Nevada Trust. We set that up when we first started years and years ago, that we would always use a trustee. We use a third party. We use a bank. We don't use ourselves. The checks never come to us. We send that money direct to Nevada Trust, and that way we're able to invest it in just days. And then
yeah.
They set up the account. They do the book work on all this. They do a lot of work for us.
You know, as I listen to the whole thing and how you kind of go over the overview, there's not really, I mean, it's a very streamlined process. There's not a lot of extra steps. There's not a lot of extra, you know, nonsense that doesn't need to be done. So not only is it quick, but it's secure. It's, I mean, everything is just so, I guess, it's not willy-nilly. And so.
Oh, and what I love is the checks are paid to Nevada Trust. They're not paid to our corporation. When these policies mature, it's paid to Nevada Trust. Then they put the money in each account. We give them a spreadsheet and say, okay, there's 10 people in this account. This is how much each one has got coming. And then they put the money in your account for you.
Yeah. So I mean, it's all mapped out.
We notify the people your money's in your account. And that's another thing. They can check it daily or monthly or anything. Anytime they're expecting money, they can check it, see if the money's there.
Wow. And you also, and you kind of touched on this already, but you really keep people informed. And so when, something, when they're in a policy, you send them a thing. Hey, you're in the policy. When it matures, you're like, okay, the policy is matured. You can expect this. And then when it goes in, they can check it. It's just, there's so much that people can do on their own. And I would imagine that probably in the world of all the possibilities, and, we've all heard some of the horror stories of other types of investments, but people can check on things. They have access to everything. And I hate to use the word transparent, but it's like there's so much information that people have access to themselves. They don't have to rely on somebody to tell them something, and it may be true, it may be not true. They can, it's all right there, and they have access to everything, which I imagine is really great and unique.
I think so. And lots of times people say, I don't know how to do it. Would you do it for me? So we'll get a copy of their statement for them. But, we can always see their statement. We know how much they've got, how much money they've got in cash, what their investments are. If they forget, we can tell them. A guy asked me the other day, I told him he's getting paid on this policy. He said, well, what's the name on it? And I couldn't remember. It was Goldwaite. But I'd forgot the name of Mr. Goldwaite, the guy that had passed away. And I said, well, you're getting paid. That's all I can tell you. And I had to go and remind myself which one it was. Because, we have so many. Sometimes we'll have four or five maturities, and I'm trying to keep them all separate and keep the investors separate in my head.
Yeah.
As to which one's in which one.
It's quite a bit, and that's another thing. Anybody that has been with you for a while understands that if they have a question about anything, they can pick up the phone and call you. Nevada Trust, when they do anything, they pick up the phone and call the person and actually talk to them and say, okay, we just want to verify that, we're moving this and doing this and making sure that this is accurate. It's like everything is so, there's such a personal touch that you don't find really in most anything these days. It's such a rare thing. And so that's another key asset for people.
And lots of times people will call me and then they apologize. Oh, I was going to call the office, but I called your number. And I go, great. I can answer the question probably. I probably know the answer. So I'll say, go ahead and give me your question. Let's see if I can get it, but they should never apologize for calling me.
Yeah.
That's what I'm here for. I love to talk to them. It doesn't bother me. But lots of times they think they shouldn't call me, that they should call the office.
Well,
but everybody in my office will talk to them. Flynn will talk to him. Claudia will talk to him. I'll talk to him, whoever. And if somebody ever says, well, somebody didn't return my call, I don't believe that.
Yeah, you're on.
Because there's three people at least that will return your call.
Yeah, you're really on
and
top of that.
We return everybody's call. So
all right, that's
we're always there to help somebody. With an investment, whatever their problem is.
Yeah, it's like the worst thing is when you start doing business or you have some kind of a collaboration of some kind, and all of a sudden somebody just like disappears and you can't get a hold of them. That's the worst. And so you're very, very on top of, you know, communication, making sure you're accessible. And, you know, if you do have to call somebody back, you do call somebody back. And it's such a rare thing. And especially when we're talking about, you know, money. Which is, you know, that's one of the things you don't mess with people with. And it's good to know that, you know, that it's not just, hey, I'm going to, you know, put my money in this and never talk to anybody ever again. So that personal touch.
That's what happens sometimes at yeah. stockbroker jobs. You know, you don't know what they're doing over there. But that's one thing about it. If you have a policy, you can call about it. You can ask questions about it. You can ask me questions about it. And when you have a maturity, you know, it goes right in your account, then we do it again.
Yeah.
So, you know, everything is pretty streamlined, and you know where your money is at all times.
Yeah, and people, you know, the investment itself is so well informed because people have the data. They don't have to, I mean, a lot of investors do because they've been with you for so long and they have the track record to back this up. But people don't have to just say, you know, oh, I trust you. You know, we're talking about a chunk of money. People have the data themselves and they can access it and it's all right there. And if they have any questions, they can call you and you can walk them through it.
And you know, another thing, you know, I hardly ever mention, they're getting interest when they've got a lot of cash in their setting there. That is getting interest every day.
Ooh.
So they're always getting interest on their accounts. I don't know how many checking accounts in America you get interest on just sitting there.
That's
if
true.
It's not in savings, if it's not in a CD. How many banks will pay you just for having an account with them?
Good point. Yeah, the interest alone just is, it's another big thing. It's like.
And I think it's still about 4%.
Wow.
So, you know, you're getting 4% in between.
Yeah.
So when you have money with us, it's always earning interest.
Just for doing nothing.
For just sitting there, for being there with us.
Yeah. I mean, it's an incredible opportunity. It's conservative. If life settlements aren't for people, then annuities are really, really big these days. I mean, they've always been a great investment to begin with, but what's been happening with annuities over the last, year or two at least?
They're getting better, a lot better.
Yeah.
I think annuities are the best I've ever seen them. You know, investment in an annuity is solid. It's for a long term. You know, you can do 5 years, 8 years, or 10 years. And, you know, the interest keeps coming every year. It's locked in every 12 months. That's what I love. You know, when you're in the stock market, it's not locked in ever. I mean, not day one, not 100 days, not the end of the year. It's up and down all the time. But when you have an annuity, you can rely on it. First of all, we've still got the bonus. We're just happy that it stayed and when we thought it was going away, and it didn't. So you get the 14% bonus up front. And then if you put money in next year, you get 14% and 14% the next year. So that's in addition to what it's going to make. It's been averaging, and I say this all the time, about 10%.
Jeez.
Sometimes it's more, sometimes it's less, but that's your average. So you can rely on an annuity. It's tax deferred. You're not going to pay taxes on it. If you have a stock, you're going to pay tax on that. If you have a mutual fund, remember you have to pay tax at the end of the year on a mutual fund. You don't on this. It's all tax deferred. It's compound interest. So why wouldn't it be a great time to put some money in annuities?
Yeah. Yeah, and it's conservative. It takes like no effort on anybody's part. You literally can set it and forget it. You don't have to wake up in the middle of the night and wonder if you have anything left. If you like the excitement of the stock market, like you say, it mirrors the stock market. So if it goes up, it goes up. But if the stock market all of a sudden goes down, your annuity holds steady. It doesn't follow and drop out.
It has a stop gap.
Yeah.
You never participate when it goes down. You only participate when it goes up. So when it's going up, you make money. At the end of the year, whatever you've made, it's locked in. And they credit that to your account. That's why you can't beat an annuity. I don't care who you are. And then it's getting the right annuity, getting a company that you can rely on. Not a B-rated company or a C, but the best. An A-plus rated company that's 100 years old, that's worth $60 billion that's Jeez. Owned by Texans.
Wow.
That's important.
That is important. Not only owned by Texas, but then you're talking about, you know, billions with a B.
B, billions and billions. Not 2 or 3 billion, but 60 billion.
Yeah. I mean, that's a big deal. You're not just.
And they pay good. You know, I've been doing annuities with them for 20 something years.
Wow.
And I've never had anybody disappointed in their annuities. They've always paid well. They've stuck with them. They have never said, look, I think I'll cash it in. I've never had anybody that I know of cashed in an annuity.
Mm.
That's how good they are.
And they're so, I want to be careful how I say this, because when you set it up, it's ironclad, but you also have the flexibility to make some changes. So if all of a sudden, you know, some kind of a situation changes, maybe you have something set up with an annuity for, you know, some family member, and all of a sudden there's a falling out of some kind, you can go ahead and change it. It's not like, oh my gosh, I'm stuck forever. You have the flexibility to do it, but it's also, on the other hand, can we say that it's non-contestable? Is that...
It's written in stone. Whoever your beneficiary is, that's who's going to get the policy.
Yeah.
You know, because remember, you knew what you were doing when you did it. You set it up yourself. So, you know, there's not anybody going to contest that. If it's a will, everybody can say, oh, my gosh, they didn't know what they were doing. I was reading this week about a case in Hollywood, and this actor, you know, he had a stroke. Well, after he had the stroke, they said his mind was mush. He couldn't make a decision. But 2 months after he had the stroke, guess what? He had a new will and gave his best friends all of his money. And they just said he couldn't even think for himself. But you know what? He wrote a new will during that time.
Wow.
Now the family's contesting it and said, you know, he was out of his mind. He just had a stroke. How in the heck could he make a new will?
Yeah.
I'm with the family on this.
Yeah.
If you just had a stroke and you don't know what you're doing, how in the heck can you write a new will?
Yeah.
I don't believe you could. And the lawyers, whoever handled it, are going to be in deep trouble.
Ooh, yeah.
We don't even know if they had a lawyer. That's another thing.
Ooh.
I don't believe a reputable lawyer would have gotten involved in that.
No. That seems a little bit fishy, to say the least. So
it does seem a little fishy to me. And that happens to elderly people. Lots of times somebody will come in, a caregiver, somebody else, and they don't know what they're signing, and they'll get them to sign something, giving them everything they've got.
Jeez.
So in those cases, they need a trust that's already done when they're young enough that they know what they're doing.
Yeah.
It's hard to break a trust, by the way.
Yeah. And I'm sure you've seen stories where people have tried. Well, maybe, you know, some.
I have, but they spent the rest of their life in court, too.
Which can take time and be very expensive, and you won't win.
So. That's right. You're probably not going to win.
But people like to anyway, so yeah, whatever. But yeah, with an annuity, I mean, everything is set up exactly how you want it to, and people set them up for not only. Like some kind of inheritance, or they'll set them up for like kids' college education, or they'll set them up so that, you know, they don't get a lump sum of money when they're, you know, say 25. It gets, you know, I guess dispensed out over several years. Really kind of however you set up an annuity is really up to you. And once it's done, it's done. And so it sounds like a lot of people like the fact that, you know, however they set it up, their wishes will be granted. So if, let's say, grandparents set it up for a kid's college education, they know that that's what it's going to go for.
Well, and I know a lot of people that have bypassed, that says, okay, let's bypass this generation. We're going to give it to the next generation. Mm. So the grandkids are going to get it, or whoever. So, you know, you want it in an annuity where they can't get it all at one time. You want it specifically say, we want a payout. You know, we don't want a lump sum for them because they're going to blow it and they won't even know they had it.
Yeah.
It'll be so fast.
Oh, yeah. It'll make your head spin. because people can spend money without even realizing how much is gone, and all of a sudden it's like, uh-oh, where did it go? You know, I had this Lambo out in the driveway, but you know, now all of a sudden I can't buy bread. So we've seen it happen.
That's
before.
Right, and we've seen it over and over again.
Yeah,
an 18-year-old does not have the forward thinking to handle this kind of money.
No,
so. Either leave it to the parents where they can dole it out to the grandchildren or have some stipulations or do an annuity.
Yeah. So if people are setting up an annuity for themselves as an investment opportunity, what kind of an investor would be maybe, say, more drawn towards an annuity versus a life settlement?
I would think someone 55 and older.
Okay.
You know, all the way up to 80. You know, we can do up to 80. As long as your mind's still good and you know what you're doing, you know.
Of course, some of us who are far less than that are a little bit
shaky.
That's
right, because remember, we want to be sure you know what you're doing.
Yeah.
So we're very careful about that.
Yeah.
That's why an annuity needs to be set up, you know, really before you're 80.
Yeah.
I had an 80-year-old call me the other day and asked me if he could still get an annuity. I said, yes, and I talked to him a little bit. He said, well, my son is helping me. I said, well, then that's okay.
Hmm.
Because, you know, you want to be sure that when they sign on the dotted line, they know who they are, what they're doing, what an annuity is, and how it works.
And you can basically, as far as, you know, how it actually, like, is profitable, how does it, and I'm probably going to say this the wrong way, so I expect you to correct me after this, but it's basically you set it up, and then you can have a payout each year, and then put more in, and then you've got bonuses on top of it. So how does all that work for?
Well, at the end of the first year, you can start taking 10% a year out, and you don't want to take more than 10% out. And a lot of people don't take but maybe 5%. I have a lot of people that say, I'll say, okay, you could actually take $70,000 a year out. They go, I don't need that much. I don't need but 40. Well, that's good. That it's drawing a lot more interest every time you leave in there. Remember, it's compound, and whatever you have this year, then it's compound on top of next year. So, you know, it depends what you need, but usually 10% a year after that first year.
Okay.
And there's all kinds of way to do it. And a lot of people say, Faye, I don't need the cash right now. I've got a 401k also. So they're going to draw on that and let the annuity accumulate for a few years.
Yeah. And those bonuses are still, those are a big deal. I mean, golly.
They're a big deal. You know, when you're getting that kind of money, $14,000 on every 100, that's pretty important.
Yeah, that's just extra money on top of extra money. So who wouldn't?
That's right.
And you don't have to worry.
Everybody loves a bonus.
Oh, yeah.
And, you know, it depends. And remember, that this is a fixed annuity, a fixed index annuity. It's not a variable. It doesn't have mutual funds in it. So remember that. It can't go down because it does not have mutual funds in it.
Yeah, and you always want
to. If you went over to the stockbroker's house and said, I want an annuity, they're going to give you a variable annuity, and it has mutual funds, and therefore it can go down.
Yeah.
So you want to always have a fixed index annuity. They're the best kind because they cannot go down.
Yeah. And you always saw talk about how important it is to protect your principal, and that's exactly what this is. You won't wake up tomorrow with an annuity and wonder, golly, do I have anything left? The answer is yes, you do. You can sleep at night knowing that that your principal is protected. So
that's right. So both of these, your principal's always safe. Remember, if your principal's safe, you can survive anything. If you lose your principal, you're going to be starting over in a bad place.
Yeah.
So, you know, you don't want to wake up some morning at 70 years old and you have to go back to work.
Yeah.
It's not fun if you've been planning on retiring and then you suddenly can't retire. And we have every situation in the world has happened. You know, I have a fine gentleman that died about a year ago. He left his money to his daughter. And now we find out she's really is not competent to be handling the money.
Oh, wow.
And the money is just sitting in the account in cash, folks.
Oh, Lord.
And there's anything we can do. We're not authorized.
Hmm.
You know, we've got it set up that way, that the heir has to handle the money. and the person is not capable. So I don't know what'll ever happen.
Yeah.
Eventually, I would think in 4 or 5 years, we'll have to go to court and ask somebody to be appointed to help this woman.
Hmm.
You know, some relative's got to come in and help her.
Yeah, you would think that they would, you know, want to maybe step in. I don't know, maybe not. Maybe I don't quite understand how sometimes people are. But, boy, I hope that works out because...
I do, too, because he was really a nice person.
Yeah.
And I never even questioned him about it. You know, most people know which relatives they want to handle their affairs. Sometimes they have kids they do not want to handle their affairs,
mm-hmm.
and they make that known to us and say, leave them off. Do not put them on anything legal. And we don't. But sometimes it slips past us on something,
yeah.
you know?
And then sometimes things can change, too. I mean, you know.
That's right. And at one time, she might have been able to handle it.
Yeah.
And she might have been when he first came to me. He'd been with me about 5 years.
Oh, wow.
When he passed away. And the money was left to her, and it's just. It's not moving, let me put it that way.
Yeah, just hanging out.
Yep,
wow.
It's just hanging there.
Oh.
And it's making interest.
Well, I mean, yeah, I mean, it's, it, I mean,
but
money's
she's
money.
She's not progressing any.
Yeah. Wow.
And so we'll see what happens.
Yeah. This is Your Money with Faye Bagby. Your phone number is?
It's 877-588-3330. That's 877-588-3330. Our website's AmericanFinancialMidland.com. Got a lot of great things on the website.
And every Saturday around this time, except for last week, we get into
except
trivia.
For last week.
So, but we're on time
All
today.
All right. We're going to talk about Snicker bars.
All right.
I mean, you know, that's something that we all love. How do you think the name of Snickers came about?
I don't
know. It's owned
know.
By the Mars family since 1930.
I don't know. I'm sure it's a great story. I don't even know where to even guess.
It's named after their favorite horse.
Okay. Yeah, no, I would not have guessed that one.
Would you have not guessed that one? Oh,
no.
My gosh. Mm. Anyway, Snickers, you know, it started out in Ireland and the U.K., but they changed it to Snickers in 1990. As I said, they named it after their favorite horse, and they marked it as Marathon for years. Then they changed it, like in the United States, it was Snickers, so they changed it all to Snickers. Now, a couple of years ago, they decided that they were going to build the world's biggest candy bar.
Ooh.
And remember, this is in Waco, Texas. I didn't even know that Snickers was made in Waco, Texas.
Me either.
But it's the biggest plant they've got in the United States. They make more Snickers there than anywhere. So they built this Snickers bar. It weighed over 2 metric tons.
Oh, wow.
I mean, this is the big... It was 12 feet long, oh. 24 inches high, and 26 inches wide.
Wow.
It is in the world record books now. It's the biggest Snicker bar in the world.
I bet I could eat that in one sitting.
You can do it, huh? You just take it and chow down, right?
I'd love to try.
Oh, my gosh. Well, they opened in Waco in 1976.
Really?
I didn't even know it.
I didn't know that.
As I said, most of the candy in America is made right here in Waco, Texas.
Huh. Wow. Yeah. I didn't know.
Yeah. And so it's so funny. They've done all these ads over the years. One of them is It's So Satisfying in 1980. And they would show all these everyday people discussing why they like Snickers. And they'd say, Snickers really satisfied. And it'd be, you know, big letters. The Olympics in 1984, they paid $5 million to have Snickers as the official snack of the Summer Olympics. $5 million back in 84.
Wow, that was a chunk of change.
It was a lot of money. Then in 1995, they were running all these ads, make a self-inflicted mistake. And the voiceover would say, not going anywhere for a while, yeah. Grab a Snickers. And then they'd say, hungry? Why wait?
Wow.
And they just kept doing all these great ads. And they sponsored the Olympics, the National Football League. And the ad said, but who are the chefs? Who are the chiefs?
That was pretty good. That was a good one. I like that one.
And then they'd say, no one's going anywhere, not without a Snickers bar. And it's just amazing, all these ads they ran and that they did so well. And then Mr. T did an ad for them.
Ooh.
And I didn't remember that. Yeah, he did one. He had this little Jeep-mounted minigun, and he was firing Snicker bars at a speed walker for being a disgrace to the men's race.
Oh, wow. I don't remember that one.
Yeah, and then NASCAR. They did a lot of deals with NASCAR, and they didn't stop there. They just kept doing all these crazy ads, and it said, you're not you when you're hungry.
Yes, I remember those. Now, that was, and they turn the person into like a monster, and then all of a sudden they eat the Snickers, and they're a calm, normal person. Those are
That's
brilliant.
Right, and they turn back to a regular person. You remember that one?
Yes. Yeah.
Okay, in 2010, Betty White and Abe Vigoda did an ad.
Oh, really?
And, and they did a spoof on it. And this other lady played Betty White, and then she changed back. Aretha Franklin, Lisa Minnelli did one.
I remember that described. I remember the Betty White one. Yes.
Oh my gosh! How about the Robin Williams and Bobcat Goldthwait ones?
Oh, I don't know if I remember that one.
They did a Godzilla one. Godzilla's shown hanging out with humans on the beach. He's riding a dirt bike and water skiing.
Yes. Now
and
I remember.
He began rampaging because he was hungry.
Yes.
And they gave him a Snicker bars and he resumes fun with the humans.
Yes. Now I remember. Yeah. Oh, wow.
And then the Super Bowl one in February 25, they did an episode of the Brady Bunch and the subject was noses.
I'm trying to remember and it's not coming to mind.
Remember the parents gave Machetta a Snickers bar who reversed into Marcia. That's what I loved about. They would be one person, they'd change into something else once they got that Snickers bar.
Yeah, and you never knew who it was going to be. To have like a monster turn into somebody like is nice and docile as like Betty White. It's like it was always a twist of like, who is this going to be? It was brilliant. It was genius. Wow.
And the other one says, maybe you just need a Snickers. That was in 2020. And people were doing things like, this man was crawling along a rocky ground. He thought he was climbing a rock face. And the nose slogan was, confused? Maybe you just need a Snickers.
I remember that one, too. Yeah.
Oh, my gosh. So, they became legend for their dadgum ads.
Yeah.
Everybody loves the ads, and they spend a lot of money sponsoring all these things with their ads. But I did not know that they started in Waco, Texas. I had no idea that in the United States, the plant was right here in Texas.
I didn't know that either. I didn't know there was that much candy made in Waco. Who would have ever?
Yeah.
It's under the radar.
They make more there than anywhere in the United States.
I'm shocked. I mean, I'm now that I think about it, I'm not shocked because, duh, it seems obvious. But if you would have asked like 20 minutes ago, I would have had no idea. Wow.
But their ads, I don't know who the ad agency was that did all this, but they were good.
They were. And it seemed like whenever somebody would, you know, take a bite out of the Snickers, it was just like it was a huge bite. Like they'd have like a mouthful of Snickers bar to where like they couldn't even talk. And it was just like it seemed so odd because normally, you know, on TV, they tell you to take little teeny tiny bites and, you know, don't take all that much. But in the commercial, they would take a huge bite out of that thing. And they would have a mouthful of Snickers, and it was like the ad said, it was satisfying. And I remember all that. It was brilliant.
Yeah, so. You know, it talked about, you know, maybe their problem was they just need a bar of Snickers. You know?
Yeah, Snickers can save the world's problems.
I think it could, and I loved it. Changed them from this Hulk Hogan and all this back to, you know, a human being.
Yeah.
You know, to a normal size.
It was genius. It really was.
They had a lot of celebrities doing all this.
Yeah. Yeah. And they've got so many different kinds now. I mean, have you ever had the peanut butter Snickers?
No. Oh, but they make like 10 kinds now.
Yes.
I mean, they make a lot of different kinds.
Yeah.
Not just one.
Well, if you like peanut butter, that peanut butter Snickers is amazing. Like every time we drive,
I need to try that. I've just been having the regular one.
Oh gosh, go for the peanut. It's like we sometimes when we go from like Midland over to like San Antonio or something, we'll stop at the same Love station on the interstate, and we always go in and we always get the same thing, and I always load up on like two or three or four of the peanut butter Snickers. Just because they're they're delicious. Yes.
Well, they said that the size has decreased. It's not as big as it was.
Well, yeah, I can believe that.
That it went down a little bit.
Of course, size of everything, I think, has gone down. You know,
I think you're right about that.
Like in some places, like it seems like even hamburgers, and not to get off topic, but you know, where you used to go and get a hamburger at a place, it used to be a little bit bigger, and now it seems like they've shrunk a little bit. Even on TV, you ever notice when people are eating like hamburgers on TV on commercials, it's like they're like, oh, this big huge hamburger, but if you look, they're like barely like holding the edge of it, because if they put their whole hand around it, it would consume the bun and you'd never see it. it's like,
well, you
wow.
know, they also made a Snickers pie.
Oh,
and it contains 5 Snicker bars.
Oh,
it's one of the unhealthiest desserts ever made. One slice is 1,250 calories.
Oh, no. See, no. You don't count calories when you're talking about pie.
Oh, okay. Well, in the regular Snickers, it's 450 calories. That's not very bad.
No.
450.
Yeah, I
mean, you could handle that.
Yeah, I'm kind of looking at Snickers as a food group. You know, you got nuts.
It's a food group, okay.
Protein.
Well, I think that's okay.
Yeah, I mean, golly, what could possibly be bad about a Snickers? Golly,
there couldn't be anything bad. I think we ought to stock up on them now that you mentioned it.
Yeah, yeah, and I want to go get like
a
sample.
Need to stock up.
Try all of them.
You don't want to run out.
No. No, you get angry. Turn into like a Hulk monster.
That's right. And like it said, you know, maybe you just need a Snickers bar.
Yeah. Wow.
Calm you right down.
Yeah. Boy, I tell you what, at Halloween, when you're lucky enough to get a Snickers in your Halloween basket, pumpkin thing, boy, you get the little bite size and it's like, well, now I want like 50 more of these because it's a teaser, and it's like, man, these are delicious. Oh, wow. I love when we talk about candy. Oh, that's the best.
Well, I do, too. There's very few candies I would not try.
Yeah. Is there anything that's not your favorite?
I can't think of one.
Yeah. I can't really think of one either.
Because I love candy.
Yeah.
Candy. I don't let myself have it very often, but I do like it.
Mm, candy makes the world go round.
It does make the world go round. It makes you smile.
It does. Oh, wow. This is Your Money with Faye Bagby, but your phone number is?
It's 877-588-3330. That's 877-588-3330. Our website's AmericanFinancialMidland.com.
See, now I'm craving candy for breakfast. And so
that's a good thing. You know, you should always have it first. You can let breakfast go if you have candy.
Yeah. Wow. I bet you don't say that around the house among the kids, do you?
No, I don't. I'm always saying, no, you can't have any candy. No, no. It's bad for you. It's bad for your teeth.
Yeah. Wow. All right. So before we wrap up with annuities, there aren't really a whole lot of qualifications, not really a whole lot of risks. Is there anything that you can think of with annuities that people need to be aware of going in?
Well, I don't know of anything because it's solid. You know, it doesn't require a lot of extra thought. It just pays every year. You don't have to do anything. We set it and let it go.
With a
there's a lot of choices every year. We can change it if we need to. If we don't need to change it, let it ride.
And speaking of choices, what, 14, 13, 14?
Yes, there's a lot of choices.
Yeah, okay.
It's all solid. There's not a lot of risk in an annuity. I guess that's why everybody likes annuities.
Yeah, they're very, as we say, it's kind of a boring thing, but it's solid, it's conservative, you protect your principal. There's so many great things about annuities, which is why people...
This company is A-plus rated.
Yeah.
It's kind of like us. You know, we've been with the Better Business Bureau for, I think, 23 years.
Wow.
You know.
That's a big deal.
We have been with them a long, long time. We're an accredited business with them. That means that we take care of business, that we don't let anything go. And, you know, we've been doing it all these years.
Yeah. It's you've got a lot of history and a lot of data under your belt, too.
We do. We have a lot of history.
With a life settlement, there are two risks that people do need to know about. What's the first one?
The first risk is, remember, if it goes over, you have to pay premiums. So you want to make sure those premiums are small. And we do that for you. We make sure. And we tell you up front what the premiums are on everything we do. So that is your biggest risk. The second risk, remember, it's not liquid till it matures. So once it matures, it's liquid, and you can take it out or you can reinvest.
Okay. And if there's anybody who is thinking about maybe getting into life settlements, you do need to be accredited in order to do this. So what does
you
that mean?
You must be accredited. That means you must make $200,000 a year or you must be worth $1 million without your home.
Now, with that said, you've had investors come over before. People have called you and said, hey, I'm really interested in life settlements, but I'm not quite sure that I'm actually accredited. They've gone back. They've actually pulled numbers. They've actually looked at their assets, and they've realized, oh, my gosh, we are accredited. I just forgot about this 401k, or I forgot about this other thing over here. So if people are thinking, gosh, I'd really like to do this, but there's no way I'm accredited, it is worth going back and taking a look at all your stuff.
That's right. It's worth it to add it all up.
Yeah. All right. So for planning, people can come by. They can get more information if they want to. If they've been listening for a long time and they're like, OK, I think I got it. I'm in. There's a lot of people that have been doing either one, life settlements or annuities, for a very long time, made a lot of really conservative money. There's a lot of uncertainty out there right now. And so if people are looking to maybe find other more conservative alternatives, either one is fine. They do need to call and make an appointment. So one last time, Faye, what is your phone number?
It's 877-588-3330. That's 877-588-3330. Our website's AmericanFinancialMidland.com.